Morning.
Good morning, Sean.
Thanks very much for joining us here on the Daily Program. Now, as I say, the two-state solution, this has been in discussion for years and years and years now. But looking at the sort of latest conflicts that we see coming out of the Middle East, how do you think an independent Palestinian state could actually change conflict in the Middle East as we currently see it?
Well, I guess the change from history, Sean, is the recognition that there is an entity of Israel. The position on secure borders, which has been trotted out by the Israelis and the Americans for years, has been non-negotiable. And I think the Arab League is moving around the original intention of the United Nations resolution way back in 1948, which Dr. Evatt helped steer through, who was President of the General Assembly, our foreign minister then. So the idea then is to see if there are secure borders, but in saying that, you've got a lot of historical baggage because since 1948, you've had conflicts which have caused a lot of refugees, and the United Nations Committee on Refugees, or the old UNRWA, has really never had the power or the influence to do much to turn around on behalf of these refugees their rights in terms of dispossession of land and what have you. So it's really the status of the refugees outside modern-day Israel, including the West Bank, the entity of the West Bank, that's going to be an intractable problem, and it's a new issue.
Well, what would the process actually look like if we were to reach this decision, we're going to implement the two-state solution, what would the process actually look like of dividing up the two states?
Well, I think, Sean, the situation, and it's been the situation for a long time, has been the encroachment by the Israelis onto West Bank territory. So there's going to have to be a hard look at where the borders are going to be drawn. And it's got to be, it can't be unilaterally imposed by Israel and supported by the...
Sorry, Wayne, are you still with us? Hello, Wayne. No, it seems like we've lost Wayne there. We might play a little bit of music, see if we can get him back on the line. One moment. This one coming to us from Kariam Riggins. It's called Sweet Poetry.
We the infatuated undertow, born inside the curved straight line. Crack keys somehow finding the beautiful black. White noise and outer space hands. It's difficult to explain ourselves. I see you. I hear you. Speaking in the language of angels. The luxury of the double tongue. Magic water people. A memory. A turn of your head finds a smile. Right above the water. Just a few feet to find breath. Tar. Wood. A shore. A safe place to build music. From tears, the entire world inside one face. Nice to meet you again. We keep meeting.
Okie doke, we should have Wayne back on the line. Wayne, are you with us?
Yes, I'm with you, Sean.
Fantastic. Good to have you back. So you were mentioning there about the process of dividing up the West Bank, dividing up these sort of contested regions, and how it's going to be quite difficult between the two sides.
That's right. Well, you've got that issue with the West Bank, and you've also got the problem of the role of the Gaza Strip in all of this, because Israel has withdrawn from that, but there's been virtually a blockade on the Gaza Strip ever since. So there's going to have to be a lifting of that blockade, and the Gaza Strip has to be brought into the discussions. And, of course, the really big issue is the status of Jerusalem, because this was an issue from the very beginning, Sean. The Evatt in the United Nations really got around it by looking to the international role that Jerusalem might have. So there was this sense that Jerusalem was just too difficult even then. So with pressure from the right wing of his own party, the Catholic right of his own party in terms of access to Jerusalem, the concerns about that, the pressure from the Palestinian lobby and also the Jewish lobby meant that they couldn't come up with a solution, really, on the status of Jerusalem. And that's been sitting there as probably the most intractable rock of the lot over the years.
Well, it's interesting because the Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas, he stated Palestine, as you would expect, Palestinians remain as firm as ever in their demand for an independent state. But this kind of demand, what is the likelihood of that demand reaching a sort of a real solution, a real negotiation between the two entities?
Well, there are two things that have really got to change for that to happen. Number one, the deadlock in the United Nations and the United States, right up until the very end of the Obama administration at least, has steadfastly vetoed any real attempt to give statehood, full statehood, to Palestine. So that's number one. Number two are the so-called facts on the ground. Unless the Israeli army withdraws and unless there is a freeing up of the borders, including the Gaza Strip, then the United Nations can do what they like. But Netanyahu has made it very clear, the leader of Israel, that the United Nations is not a concern as long as the United States is prepared to back Israel's position diplomatically and militarily. So Israel remains the biggest recipient of American aid, so military aid. So there have to be some shifts, I think, in the perception, certainly to satisfy the Arab League, that's exercising its right under Chapter 8 of the UN Charter. They're saying, well, look, you need a regional solution, and regional states have to come on board in a way which they weren't doing after 1978. And, of course, by 1967, when there was a major war, virtually the entire Arab world was united against Israel. But the Arab League is now in a position to start shaping an outcome around this, then maybe things will move. But I've got to say, lastly, Sean, that it's very difficult to see that movement under Trump.
Well, actually, that was exactly going to be my next point, to be honest with you, Wayne, because I cringe to bring him up in every single sort of discussion around global politics. But, you know, Donald Trump, we're talking two-state solution, and not so long ago, Donald Trump made this this comment that sort of sent waves through this discussion about Netanyahu, Bibi, as he called him by nickname there, wasn't too happy, and maybe the two-state solution wasn't the way to go. So these kind of shake-ups, this kind of uncertainty, surely that must feed into some of the debate.
Well, it does, but again, you're back to what's actually happening on the ground. I've been interested in the reaction of Europe to the deal that Obama cut with Iran. Now, the deal there, you remember, was a nuclear deal, and again, Trump was absolutely opposed to that.
Mm-hmm.
But I read in the Wall Street Journal that there's real concern in the American business community about the extent to which Europe has sort of flocked into Iran, cutting all sorts of deals, including Boeing, by the way, in the United States, cutting all sorts of deals and trying to shape a sort of a new set of facts on the ground where trade issues, economic bilateral relations and so forth become more important. So there is this speculation that in wanting to cut a deal, Trump looking at Iran might shift. The same argument is trotted out with regards to China. Well, this could happen with respect to Israel because there's not a lot of support, and I wouldn't have thought any in the State Department, who have been running this process grudgingly for years, any sense that it's going to go anywhere by getting very close to Israel, ignoring the Arab League now, and also the vast bulk of the United Nations, then clearly some sort of step has to be taken in terms of getting the negotiations going. Unless that happens, Trump is virtually saying we'll suspend all negotiations over the next 4 years at a time when American influence in the region is seen to be in decline.
Well, it's a fascinating discussion to be had, Wayne. I really do appreciate you joining us this morning, having a bit of a chat with us about this one, because would be very intriguing, I think, to see some movement on this soon. Really appreciate your time.
No trouble, Sean. My pleasure.
That was Associate Professor Wayne Reynolds from the School of Humanities and Social Science at the University of Newcastle, discussing with us the two-state solution for Israel-Palestine, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict there in the region, what kind of effects that could have, and whether we're likely to see any movement on it anytime soon. You are on The Daily Program with myself, Sean.